An offer NASDAQ says the New York Stock Exchange can't refuse, but it's about to.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The New York Stock Exchange said today it will reject a hostile takeover bid by NASDAQ and the Intercontinental Exchange. NASDAQ just last week offered more than $11 billion for the NYSE, hoping to outbid Germany's stock exchange. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live from our New York bureau to explain all of this drama before the opening bell. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
Now, this sounds like a good deal. What's wrong with the NASDAQ bid?
On paper, it does sound good. NASDAQ is offering $11.3 billion, which is about 16% more than what the Deutsche Börse, the German stock exchange you mentioned, offered a couple of weeks ago. So it's a lot. It is a lot more money. Mm-hmm. But the NYSE's management says a deal to merge the NYSE and the NASDAQ will never make it past the antitrust regulators. And the NASDAQ deal would also involve a lot of cost cutting down the line, which would probably involve job cuts. So it's pretty likely that politicians here in New York would also put up a big fight over the deal.
All right, so then what's the next step? What happens now?
Well, the fight over the NYSE and really over stock exchanges all over the world is just starting. We're in this period of big consolidations and mergers, and the exchange landscape is really changing. But that's sort of a mid to long-term issue. Right now, what we're going to see is NASDAQ going directly to the NYSE's shareholders and trying to convince them that they'll come out ahead by supporting the NASDAQ bid. No matter what happens there, though, it's not like the NYSE Deutsche Börse deal is sealed either. It's also going to have to face some really tough questions from the antitrust people, and not just here in the U.S., but in Europe, too.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reporting from New York. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
A new World Bank report out this morning recommends reevaluating the aid developed countries give to developing countries. More focus, the report says, should be placed on building stable government and institutions. From London, here's the BBC's John Bithrie.
The World Bank report challenges a common view on how billions of dollars in aid ought to be spent. It says a quarter of the world's population lives in fragile or failed states, and so far there's been too little focus on rebuilding them through accountable government and strong legal systems. Report author Sarah Cliff says if this isn't improved, other spending won't work.
It's much easier for countries to get help with their militaries than it is with their police forces or justice systems, and much easier for them to get help with growth, health or education. Our analysis would indicate that that should change.
The report also calls for more focus on job creation to mitigate poverty, to help alleviate the kind of dissatisfaction we've seen across the Middle East. But the report has its critics who say the World Bank has got this the wrong way round and aid should be spent on meeting basic needs like healthcare before anything else. In London, I'm the BBC's John Bithrie for Marketplace.
There is another strong earthquake aftershock in Japan today. Hundreds of those have been felt in the month. Yes, it's been a month since the 9.0 earthquake. Let's do some numbers. Japan's Nikkei lost about 0.5% today. Global stocks mostly lower right now, although the FTSE in London's a little higher. Ford reported strong car sales in China last month, up 20% for March. GM sales pretty much flat, up about 1%. Wall Street Friday, the Dow was off 29 points to close at 12,380.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. On the web at Chevy.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com.
Lawmakers in Georgia begin to debate a new budget this week. That state has a gaping budget deficit. And as Jim Burris reports from station WABE in Atlanta, some legislators have been calling for a tax on services to bridge the gap.
Georgia lawmakers don't like to talk about increasing taxes, but in the face of at least $1 billion in red ink, they are willing to push tax reform.
This is about fairness and to encourage more investment in all corners of the state.
A while back, Georgia Representative Mickey Chanel and fellow Republicans unveiled a plan to balance the budget. they'd add a tax to most services. But that didn't set well with the providers of those services, and one by one, many services became exempt.
We're not going to tax haircuts, legal services, AAA memberships, Sam's Clubs, Costco memberships.
Or vet visits, dry cleaning. In the end, only three services remained: satellite TV, used car sales, and car repairs.
My name is Carrie Guthrie, and I'm owner of My Favorite Automotive on DeKalb Avenue in Atlanta.
Standing underneath a hoisted purple Subaru in for suspension repair, Guthrie says a new auto service tax would add $8 or so to this customer's bill. It's an expense she says she'd like to absorb, but just can't.
It's all I can do to stay on DeKalb Avenue and keep the doors open as it is in this economy.
Guthrie feels mom-and-pop auto shops don't have the political clout that other businesses in Georgia are able to wield. Dorothy Brown agrees. She's a law professor at Emory University who specializes in tax policy.
If you're Coca-Cola, this is Georgia, I wouldn't expect there to be a tax on Coke.
That's because Coke is based here. But Colorado and Washington, also faced with budget shortfalls, have passed a soda tax.
And you see states looking at all kinds of ways to raise revenue. So I certainly don't fault Georgia with trying to make sure its budget stays balanced. It's just, how do you do it and whose ox are you going to gore?
The bottom line, whatever services are eventually taxed, taxpayers are going to foot the bill. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And finally, a lot of people shop online for clothing or shoes. Trouble is, they can't try the stuff on. So apparently, and I just can't believe this, some shoppers will go to the physical store and try the outfits on in the dressing room and then buy the same thing online. Not to be outdone, some stores in Australia are now charging fitting room fees as much as $50. Fully refundable, of course, if you buy the clothing from the store. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Fly fishermen everywhere are facing a dilemma. The feathers used for their flies are in high demand by girls who will pay anything to have them for their hair.
They were going on eBay for $100 to $150 a piece when the suggested retail price was like $36.
I'm Bob Moon. It's a feisty feather fight. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.